We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Thank you and greetings, my friends. Today I have a question. What do you think? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The power of an idea or a thought is beyond my ability to fully describe. The wise man of God a long while past declared, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. This is the principle concerning the thoughts of man we are considering today. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking? Generally, what our thoughts are, or what we are. The Apostle Paul wrote about the power of thought in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on these things, the apostle exhorted. By inference, the apostle equated their thinking to their doing. These things do, he admonished. Proper thinking may be equal to proper doing. First of all, to whom is the apostle speaking? This is very important. Obviously, he would not say that to an infidel or an atheist or an evil or wicked man. That is, the peace of God will guard your thoughts and your hearts. Surely the apostle was not saying that to the alien sinner who has never become a child of God. God would not say that to those who are enemies of Christ, that is, the God of peace will guard your thoughts and your hearts. No, God doesn't say that to sinners. There can be no question about it. The inspired apostle was addressing the children of God. In this God-given revelation, the inspired apostle affirmed that the peace of God will guard your hearts and thoughts. This is one of the great blessings that belong to the Christian. But we must also consider the responsibilities. We are to rejoice. We are to forbear. To be people of gentleness, as the marginal reference suggests. We are to guard against being anxious. We are to be a people of prayer. We are to be greatly appreciative of people. We are strongly commanded to watch and guard well our thoughts because our thoughts are what we are. Remember, the Bible says of man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are to be doers and not just thinkers. You know, some people are very good at saying, "I think," but not so good at saying, "I will do." This great declaration of Paul to the church at Philippi stresses the importance of thinking and right thinking. Of thinking on the right things. Too much of our thought power of humanity today is upon the wrong things. Things that are destructive. Things that are evil. Even things that will destroy both body and soul of mankind. What a different world it would be in which to live if all were more positive thinking. Thinking on what good thing can I do? In the gospel record of chapter 19 of Matthew, is an example of good thinking as far as it went. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and inquired, "Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" That is indeed a commendable way of thinking. What good may I do? Thinking on good things does not produce evil things. Thinkers of good things are responsible for good things. Thinkers of evil things are responsible for evil things. Just imagine how many millions of people in the world this very moment are thinking on evil things. Yes, planning, actually planning, what evil can I do? Planning to steal, rob, murder, and do about everything that is evil known to man. Only those thinking to do evil will be guilty of evil conduct. Those who are thinking, what good thing shall I do or can I do, will not be charged with evil. If all the people in the world were thinking, what good thing shall I do, we would have no need for the jails and the penitentiaries. There would be no need for the sheriff and police departments. The officers of the law are not seeking to apprehend those who are having the wonderful, positive view of life, what good thing shall I do? It is they who are evil whom they seek. The unseen things are very important. Have you ever seen an atom? Obviously not. But we are somewhat acquainted with the great power that can be unleashed from the atom. A thought or an idea is invisible, but look at the power it may contain. God is not visible to the eye of man, yet He is the all-powerful Creator of heaven and earth. How powerful is that which cannot be seen by the eye of man? Thought can be very powerful indeed. It has been said by a good Bible student and a close observer of human nature that a train of thought may be a good thing if moving in the right direction. Paul and James both talk about the power of the gospel and its ability to save. In Romans 16:17, the apostle said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The apostle James expressed the matter in these words in James 1:21, "Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." My friends, are you listening? Have you ever seriously thought about the tremendous God-given power of the gospel? The power is not in the book itself, but in the message of the book. The power is not within the grade of paper up or the ink in which it was written. The power was in the message of God's Word in the gospel of Christ. The power is not whether the words are printed in red or black ink, although some people would reverence that. That's not the gospel, necessarily. But the gospel is the word of the Lord. And I say, what you think about it will determine the very destiny of your soul. What you believe about it and what you do about it is all important to the saving of your soul. The words spoken by Jesus and the words spoken by the inspired apostle have the same inherent power. This is true because the apostle spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whose message came from Christ. Jesus declared that to be true, recorded in John 16, verses 13 through 15. The power of the gospel is seen in the fact that it is the intelligent thought of God brought to bear upon the mind of man. This is the way that Jehovah God has chosen to communicate with the human soul. He influences and directs us, not directly, but through a medium. That medium is His gospel, His Word. That Word is simply His thought transferred into understandable language, revealing deity unto us. The inspired Apostle Paul said that the gospel, the Word of the Lord, is the power of God unto salvation. Now, what are some of the ways in which the power of thought manifests itself? God's thoughts demonstrates itself in what God has done. What God said and what God did, recorded in Genesis 1, for example, constitute the foundation of the beginning chapter of the Bible. Back of what He did, recorded in this chapter, is what He said. Back of what He said in this chapter is what He thought. The creation of the heavens and the earth, recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is the result of God's thoughts. His creation of light, the firmaments, causing the dry land to appear, bringing all the waters together, the creation of plant life, water life, fowl life, animal life, and human life, as well as making of the sun, the moon, and the stars, all depict the power of creation as it originated in the mind and thought of Almighty God. From Genesis 3 through Revelation 22, we have unfolded and proclaimed the scheme of human redemption. This is the revelation and action of God's thoughts about saving man. When he said about that, what we should do to be saved, and what he said about it, these are very serious for man to consider. The gospel, therefore, is the thought of God expressed in words and action. Redemption in Christ, his church, and eternal salvation are the result of the thoughts of God. His glorious thoughts, magnificent power, are revealed to us in his word, the word of the New Testament. The power of thought is seen clearly in the type of character each person possesses. The average man of our time is not doing nearly as well in the proper control of himself and his thinking as he may, through his thinking, control the elements that surround him, for example. The man that builds a house may not choose to control his own anger as he lives in that house. The man who helps to build a dangerous weapon may choose to kill someone with that weapon. The man who controls a great company of people in his business, by thought, word, and deed, may lose control of himself and his influence by his own drinking habits, for example, after he leaves the business in the late afternoon. The Bible has something to say about this type of thinking and action recorded in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. The writer declares, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." My friends, what do you think? Have you reflected much on the fact that your very thoughts determine whether your life is great and grand, or whether it is evil and sinful? Why not take a journey through the museum of your heart and determine the very type of thoughts that are most often to be found there, whether they be good or bad, worthy or unworthy, uplifting or degrading, great and grand or evil and vile. You know, the Bible teaches that our thoughts reveals character. Solomon, the wise man of the ages, had provocative thoughts about this matter. In Proverbs 4:23, he wrote, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And several chapters later he declared, "For as he thinketh within himself, so is he." Deception sometimes may be attempted by speaking one thing and doing something else. But just remember, what a person does may speak so loudly that you cannot hear what he says. My friends, are you listening? You are not what you think you are, you know. You are what you think. It does matter what you and I think. In fact, it makes all the difference in the world and throughout eternity what we think. Someone has wisely suggested, sow a word or look at a picture and reap a thought. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. The heart cannot be any purer than its thoughts. Neither can lips and hands be any greater than the thoughts that guide them. We must understand that the thoughts determine the language and speech patterns. We would know this even if the Bible didn't tell us so, would we not? This is very obvious, that none would seriously call it in question, I'm sure. Jesus taught in Matthew 12, "Ye offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you, that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." A short time later the Lord said, "Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth into the mouth passeth into the belly and cast into the draught? But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, railing. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20. The apostle declared in James 3, 10, 12, out of the same mouth cometh forth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. The Bible reveals in Acts chapter 8 that Simon the sorcerer sinned because he had heart trouble. Peter told him, "Thy heart is not right before God." He had serious heart trouble. It was a thinking problem. His heart was not right. The character of men and nations is molded by thoughts. No man or nation can rise above its thinking. No Christian can ever rise above his thinking. No church can rise above its thinking. Beloved, I say, are you listening? We will only do what we think we can do. Are you thinking about your soul, its welfare now, and where it will be 1 million or 2 billion years from now? You need to think about these things. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel, believing in the Lord, repent of your sins, be baptized into the death of Christ, where your sins are remitted. Truly, then live a faithful, consecrated Christian life, and heaven will be your home.